Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let's ask the Lord's blessings on our consideration of this verse. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to meet with your people. The privilege of opening the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that we have them written in our own language. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to read and to fellowship with your dear people. Lord, we ask your blessings on this time. Lord, we pray not for the applause of men, but that your people might be blessed, that the truths of the Scriptures might be made real. And should there be one here who is not a believer, that you would speak to his or her heart, that the glorious light of the gospel might shine into their hearts, that they might trust you, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, what we pray for ourselves, we pray for your people everywhere the gospel is preached this morning. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I've been amused at the things that people collect. Some people collect stamps. It's a good hobby. I knew a fellow who collected barbed wire. He had a piece of barbed wire like every piece of barbed wire that had ever been made. One of the sisters in the meeting at Waynesville collects giraffes. Years ago, she went to a zoo, and she was just intrigued by a giraffe. And I don't know how many miniature stuffed giraffes, wooden giraffes, pictures of giraffes. She's got a room full of them. My son collects old cars and old motorcycles. Took me about 15 years to realize he knew what he was doing. Somebody would get tired of an old car, and he knew which one would one day be valuable. He's got a chicken house, an abandoned chicken house that's 40 feet wide and 340 feet long. You just barely can walk through it. There's over 300 motorcycles and over 100 cars. And he said, that'll educate my children. What does God put his stamp of approval on? Says, you can collect this, get all of it you want. It's in this verse. Buy the truth and sell it not. You keep it. You soak it up, absorb it. Get as much of it as you can. And don't let it go. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy it. The word you use here is the same word that's used when you buy land. Where do you go to buy truth? Let's say you walk into Walmart and say, I'd like to tell the clerk, I want $50 worth of truth. She look at you, what funny farm did you escape from? Or you go down to the drugstore and say, I want 5 gallons of truth. Or to the hardware store. Or you call up the building supply and say, would you send me a truckload of wisdom? How do you get it? God doesn't ask the impossible. Buy it, sell it not. Before we delve into some of these truths, I'd like for you to keep your finger here. We'll come back to it. But I'd like for you to turn to John 18. John chapter 18. And should there be, in a group this size, I don't know, I know a number of you are believers, and I I just enjoy meeting with the believers here. Enjoy the worship meeting, the spiritual high tone that you set as you remember our Savior. But even in the dozen that were gathered around the Lord, one of them was not a believer. And I don't know who you are, but I'm going to take time at the beginning to speak to you that you might hear the truth. You know, we can make a mistake two ways. I can believe somebody that's telling me a lie, be deceived. I really don't like that. That bothers me. When I find out somebody has tricked me, deceived me, told me a lie, it really gets to me. I can also refuse the truth. So I can get hit both ways on this. And I want to use an illustration. John 18, verse 37 and 38. Jesus is standing before Pilate. And they're throwing all these accusations against him, and he just doesn't say anything. And Pilate marvels at this. And the Lord doesn't answer anything till the question of God's honor is brought up. Then he gives an answer. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now that's a railroad track we all want to get on. Pilate missed it. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? He, being a political person, had heard so much foo-foo and yah-yah, and you know what? Filling the airwaves today. He said, How do you tell what's the truth? If you believe everything that's said about everybody that's running for office, we wouldn't have any of them as our choice. And Pilate is caught up in this. He said, What is the truth? Never realizing that standing in front of him was truth in person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do you get to know Him? How do we know Him who is truth? We'll start at square one. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person sitting in here, I don't care how refined you are, how much self-discipline you have, we were all born sinners. And the great problem that faces every man that faced Pilate, you stand before a holy God, and here he is standing facing him. He says, What's truth? And I thought to myself, what a tragedy. There are many, many that live 60, 70, 80, 90 years and never really lay hold of the true truth. This is where Pilate stands. What is truth? But God is holy. I'm sinful. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. And when God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, we're all on that road. We're all dead in trespasses and sins, as Dr. Garnes mentioned in the previous meeting. All of us. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It's available to every one of us. That by the grace of God, we might put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Once we acknowledge our sin and say, Lord, I'm willing from the depths of my soul to trust you as my Savior. The light shines in darkness. And we walk in truth. Oh, The day that I trusted the Lord, felt like a 100-pound weight off my shoulders. Thy word is truth. Jesus says, I am truth. It's interesting, these four words, that we could spend hours on every one of them. But let's be wiser than Pilate. Put our trust in Him whom to know is eternal life. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We read of the Spirit of truth. We read of the God of truth. And each of these four things, I want to draw your attention how they are brought to the person, each person of the Trinity. The God of truth, the Spirit of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth. Also, there's a connection with the local assembly, the local church. Those of you who have labored to see the fruit of such a wonderful meeting as this, take comfort. Paul, writing Timothy, said, if I tarry long, that you may know how to conduct yourself or behave yourself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? Truth. What's he saying? That where a group meets like this, following the principles that God has established. And I love what George was telling me yesterday. Someone comes into the meeting, if you can show us where we're not following this dear book, conclusively show us, we'll change. We're basing it on the truth. Thy word is truth. And he says that a meeting is the pillar and ground of the truth. What is he saying? That this meeting is the headquarters for truth in this community. That should give us goosebumps. That should encourage us to follow the Scriptures in every detail. Thy word is truth. The God of truth. We're told to rightly divide the word of truth. And then the question comes, what am I going to do with the truth? I can receive it, or I can reject it. If I receive it, I'm blessed. Just like the Old Testament, Moses says, I set before you the way of a way of blessing and a way of curse. And we make the choice to be blessed. He, 1 John 2:4, he that says, I know him, and he doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So there's a message of obedience here. Just think of the tragedy of living a whole lifetime, and they're all around us, people that never lay hold of the truth. How blessed we are to have the Scriptures in our own language and to have spiritual leaders like you've got here that give you the word of truth. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. Learn all the truth you can. Hold on tight to it. Don't turn it loose. Don't sell it or trade it. But he says also, turn back to Proverbs, also wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom. Where do I buy wisdom? How do I do it? In a nutshell, this verse more or less summarizes the whole book of Proverbs. Buy wisdom. Do you mean I can tap into the same motherload of wisdom that Solomon did? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. The Scriptures teach it. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives liberally and upbraids not. Liberally. He doesn't say, Gabriel, that's the third time today he's been in here asked for wisdom. Throw him out of here. No, no. He gives it liberally. It pleases him. Some of you know I worked for the Department of Agriculture for 30-some years. And there's a regional farmers market in Nashville, and I managed that for 15 years. And about $45 million worth of produce goes through that each year. And there's dealers and farmers and buyers and people down there just scheming how to get more than their piece of pie. Get part of the other guys. And it was my job to sort of be a referee on that. I went in one morning, and I don't think I've told this story here. If I have it, if you've heard it, forgive me, but I don't think I've told it here. I went in, and the biggest watermelon dealer on the market, his name is Don Ray Ramsey, he said, Clayton, somebody stole about 60 Crimson Sweet watermelons from me this morning, or during the night and this morning. Well, I prayed for wisdom. Lord, help me to figure this out. Well, over in the corner, last stall, was a black van with a Florida license plate with about 60 Crimson Sweet watermelons sitting out behind it. And went over and asked him, I said, could I see your ticket? When you come through the gate, you get a receipt that tells what you've got on your truck. He said, I don't have one. I said, why? He said, well, I came through the gate about midnight and said the guy there was reading the paper and said, I just didn't stop. Circumstantial evidence, but I said, where did you buy them? And he told me a little place in Florida. And I went to my red book that lists all the produce people in the United States, and I couldn't find what he told me. So I went back down, and I was going to, well, in fact, as I called the sheriff, he'd already sold his melons at $2 a piece to the guy next to him. Well, Don Wraith told me, he said, I had $2 in mine. He's selling them wholesale. Well, I said, if he shows back up, I want to talk with him. About 3 o'clock, he shows up with a load of cantaloupes. And I go over and I talk to him. And there was about an 18-year-old young man with me. And that's another thing. You need one guy to watch and one guy to steal. And so I pretty well had him boxed in, I thought. And I told him, I said, mister, I said, I can't prove it. I said, but I'll give you till 8 o'clock in the morning to clear your stuff up and just move on. He looked me right straight in the eye, raised his right hand. He said, Captain, I didn't steal them watermelons. He said, so help me Jesus, I didn't steal them watermelons. I didn't believe him, but he put a question mark in my mind. And as I thought about it, I thought, Lord, you know, you can fall off either side of the fence. I can run an innocent man off the market, or I can let a crook stay. And I had the authority to ban anybody that was not being honest. I thought about that, and he looked me right in the eye. And I said, Lord, if the man's innocent, would you show me how to find out? Strong circumstantial evidence. And the Lord gave it to me. I'm not this smart. Believe you me, I'm not this smart. Usually about Thursday, I think of what I should have said or done on Monday. But I made out 10 questions and got my assistant. We went down to the guy. I said, was the young man with you when you loaded those melons? He said, yes. I said, fine. I said, let him go with Cody out of earshot over there. Cody's going to ask him these 10 questions. I'm going to ask you these 10 questions. I said, they better be the same answer. I said, the man that you bought the melons from, did he have on a hat, a cap, or was he bareheaded? He said, he's bareheaded. He said, bushy headed fellow. Just like that. Usually if they're going to lie, they'll, now how's he going to trap me? No. Well, wrote it down. I said, what was he wearing? He said, he had a t-shirt with a bunch of writing on it. Did you ask him? I said, did you load them off the ground, off a truck, out of the warehouse? Off the ground. How many were left when you got through? Not any, said, I got all of them. And, I mean, he came right at me. I said, what did you pay the man? How much did you pay a piece for those metals? He said, I didn't pay anything. Said, I did some mechanic work for the man. Well, after I got my 10 questions, Cody comes back up. And we had worked together long enough. I could look in his eye and he could look in mine. And yes, sir. Well, I could tell. And sure enough, they had the same answers. Circumstantial evidence would have hung that man. And had I not prayed for wisdom, I'd have sent an innocent man off the market. But God gives wisdom. We can plug into the same wisdom that Solomon had when those two harlots come and with a live baby. And he's going to cut it in two. And he watches the expression on their faces and says, she's the mother. And his wisdom was established. I had another case, and I won't draw this out, but there was it was over by Daddy Onions. And there was a fellow that was stealing. And strong circumstantial evidence. And he stole the wrong by Daddy Onions from somebody that had an exclusive dealership on the market. The guy came to me and said, he stole. I said, I didn't see him do it, but he's got some of my Vidalia onions. Got the tag on it. Well, I called him in and told him he had to leave the market. And but he was scheming. He sent another guy in the next day. He said, I may have gotten so-and-so in trouble. Said, I bought some onions from Tom, and he said, I bought some melons from Bill, and said, when I was loading the melons, he said, I set the onions off, and said, I just left them sitting there, and said, I forgot them. Well, that would stand up in court. But he had a receipt that was about 2 weeks old. Now, I could see this crook slipping through my fingers. And I just prayed, Lord, give me wisdom. Again, I'm not this smart. I really am not this smart. But I'm smart enough to ask the Lord for wisdom. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. And it just flashed in my mind. The receipt dated 2 weeks ago had a lot of rain. I said, what was the weather like when you loaded those melons? He thought a minute. He said, it was raining. I said, you're sure it was raining? Yes, I'm positive. Now, I had a couple of witnesses there, one was the secretary. I said, would you call the weather bureau and see what the weather was like on this day? Not a trace of rain. I invited him to leave the market along with the other guy. But the wisdom, by wisdom, this wonderful book of Proverbs, I don't know when I started reading it every day, 30, 35, 40 years ago, but I'm still finding fresh truths in there. It's inexhaustible. And we're exhorted to buy the truth, buy wisdom, buy instruction, buy understanding. Where do you buy it? How do you get it? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I want to show you how each of these come back to three things. The Scriptures, to Christ, and to the local assembly. And any time you're involved in these, let me tell you. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began. By that, Christ, the wisdom of God, and the truth also. In Proverbs 3:13, happy is a man who finds wisdom. You want to be happy? Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be happy? But how many people are racing the highways out there right now on their way to some event that they think is going to bring them happiness? You're where you can find it. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Wise and wisdom. Key word of the book of Proverbs. So, you young men, it thrills me to see you young men participating here. I mean, it just gives my heart joy to see you leading, singing, and praying and doing these things. And you learn from these wise men here who have absorbed the truth, who have done what this verse says. In Ephesians 3:10, the church shows the manifold wisdom of God. The church. There's something about the order. What you're doing right here is an object lesson to angels. We don't think about it. And I don't know where they're sitting or flying overhead or where they are, but we are God's object lesson to angels. More than one place. Have it here. Have it in 1 Corinthians 11. The way things operate. Got a dear lady that comes to our meeting. She doesn't say much. She just comes and sits there and listens. Her husband can't read or write, and he seldom comes to the meeting. And she went to hospital recently, and I went to visit her. And there was another lady that had visited her. Was looking for a place to go to church. And she told me about it. She said, I told them about our church. I said, what'd you tell them? Tell her. She said, the men make the decisions, the women keep their mouth shut, and she said, it works like a charm. The manifold wisdom of God in the order that you observe in the meetings here. Again, in the church, in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, there's wisdom personified. You read the book of Proverbs, and every place you find the word wisdom, and you can substitute the word Christ, and it makes perfect sense. Because Christ is wisdom personified. He's truth personified. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then also instruction. Instruction and understanding. The instruction, the pipeline that brings us wisdom to us. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and I'll show you a little bit of what I'm talking about, how this is sort of a summary of the whole book. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. You see three familiar words there? Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Verse 6, to understand, there's that word again, a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Turn over to chapter 4. You see how these things are repeated. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 7, Proverbs 4, 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. In chapter 3 and 1 and 2, it says, my son, forget not my laws, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, now, who doesn't want a long life and peace? Well, this is the only way we can get it. There it is in black and white. Going back to chapter 4, verse 10, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Long life. It's mentioned twice. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. There's that word again. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. This is a main flow of our life. The buying of instruction. Again, where do you get it? Where do you get understanding? Where do you get wisdom? Let me go back to wisdom just a minute. He that winneth souls is wise. Let's just take that one facet of wisdom. Winning souls. If I win souls, I'm showing wisdom. I'm wise. George and I were talking about Craig's trip to Poland and about a mutual friend, Czesław Becerra. And I was telling him a little bit about Czesław. I visited the same assembly. And they meets very similar to this one and one in Waynesville. Craig visited two of them. But Czesław had a real good brain. He speaks about four or five languages fluently. He's over, I think it's 28 countries in Europe with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Got maybe 300 people working under him. But I'll tell you how he started and how the Christians treated him with wisdom to bring him to where he is. There was an assembly in his home where his mother, he lived with his mother and dad, but he was a communist. This was maybe 25, 30 years ago. He was a communist. President of the communist class his senior year in high school. And his dear parents, the assembly there, met in their home. And he was a chemistry major. He made up a chemical bomb and set it off during the Lord's Supper. He told me, he just shook his head, and he said, what do you do with Christians? He said, you do something like that, and they just pray more for you. And he had a good friend that was going to a Christian camp, and some of them talked him into going with this friend to the Christian camp. And he got saved. Of course, there's a lot of people praying, and that's part of this winning souls. A lot of that battle is won on your knees. Don't ever forget it. But it turned him 180 degrees. And the communists built this model city called Tiki. It's just steel and concrete there. Most of Poland is just full. I went over there with the Department of Agriculture as a consultant to help them build farmers markets. And most of those cities got these giant, magnificent, expensive cathedrals, but not in Tiki. The Russians, it was their brainchild. They were going to show what communism could do. They were not going to have a church in Tiki. And it's the drabbest city I saw there. But along comes Czesław. He gets saved. And he goes to the communist mayor. And he said, if you let me give out gospel tracts. And I, by the way, you that give out my track when you run out. Don't bother sending me money. Just drop me a card and say, send me some more tracks. And if you'll give them out, I'll supply them for you. But he was out just on the streets of Tiki, just giving out gospel tracts, and he'd sell New Testaments. But he went to the mayor first. He said, if you'll let me give out tracts and sell testaments, said, it'll make it easier on you. He said, how's that? He said, the people that get saved, said, they won't get drunk anymore. He said, you've got a terrible problem with the drunks in this city. It was a drab place, and they didn't have much to live for, and they can get drunk. And Larry said, let me think about it there, too. And he said, okay, go ahead. Make a long story short, about 200 people get saved one at a time as he gives out tracts and he gives the gospel out on the street. And that's for that assembly that I visited, and I spoke through an interpreter like Craig did. But he's wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Let me ask you a question. And I'm pointing one finger at you, and I'm pointing it at you, but I've got three pointed at me. If some billionaire Christian would come to George and say, George, I really believe in giving out tracts and personal testimonies as a method of winning souls. If you'll tell those dear Christians there that for every tract they give out, I'll give them $10. And for every time they give their testimony to somebody, I'll give them $100. Would you have given out more tracts last week? Pointing at you, and I'm pointing three of them at me. Do I love money more than I love being a testimony for my Lord? Well, at times it's not easy. I remember when I was working at as a farm agent, there's a tough old mountain farmer. He had all his neighbors scared of him. And he had very few friends. And the Lord laid him on my heart. And finally, I don't think I've told this here. If I have, forgive me. But finally, after 5 o'clock, I waited till after the work hour. I went to his house, and I asked his wife. I said, where's Dave? She said, he's pulling out logs up the end of the field. There's about 3 football fields up there. And I've got to walk, and he's on this nice, shiny Ford tractor up there pulling logs. And I knew he's wondering, what on earth's that Davis boy doing coming up here after work hours? And I was praying, Lord, help me. I get up, and he stops the tractor. I said, Dave, I came to share the gospel with you. I didn't know whether he'd jump off and fight me, throw rocks at me, curse me. I didn't know what to expect. Tears came in his eyes. And as I presented the claims of Christ, man, sitting out there on that tractor seat and trusted the Lord. And he came to the meeting some. He's in heaven now. But he had most people buffaloed by the grace of God. But you know the thing that troubles me? How many Daves are there out there that I didn't go see? We're dealing with eternal things. And he that winneth souls is wise. When the Lord brings me to your mind, pray 2 things for me. Pray that I'll sprint to the finish. I'm 73, pretty good health. I've lost my wife. But the Lord's opened some doors for me. Pray that I'll sprint to the finish. And pray that I'll be an effective personal witness carrying the gospel to those in darkness. He that winneth souls is wise. Instruction, the pipeline that brings the wisdom to us. Proverbs 23:12. Let's look at that one. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Apply these things. 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we apply it? How do we get the wisdom? What is it? Proverbs 2, He layeth up sound wisdom for us. Lays it up. Just like a bank account. Few times I've been smart enough to say, okay, Lord, I need your wisdom. And I've gotten it. Beyond what I'm capable of myself. I think one of the worst things that could happen to me is when I get to heaven, the Lord said, Clayton, come over here. I want to show you something. Here's all the wisdom. Right there it is. Look at it. That you did not use, that was available for you in those hard times that you were complaining about. There it is. Why didn't you ask for it? And I want to show you what would have happened if you had. I think it turned my heart out. Apply the heart unto wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 8:10, receive my instruction and not silver. There are a number of scriptures that compare instruction, wisdom, and understanding to gold and silver and rubies. And guess what? In every case, what we have in this verse is superior. I challenge you to search it out for yourself. There's a number of those. In David's prayer for Solomon, it's in 1 Chronicles 22:12, if you want the reference. May the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Paul prays for the Colossians. Let's look at that one. Colossians 1:9. Colossians. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now David prays it for Solomon. Paul prays it for the Colossians. Back up to Ephesians 1:17. And see what Paul prays for the Ephesians. Verse 17. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. You see this pipeline here? Wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, and the power that results from it? We do well to buy wisdom, to buy truth, to buy understanding, to buy instruction. Turn to Psalm 119. This thread runs throughout the Scripture. Psalm 119, one of my favorites. If I was going to be locked up for the rest of my life and just had one chapter, I think this would be my selection. Psalm 119, and look at verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And we could spend a lot on that whole heart. That's one of the key words in this chapter 2. Look at verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. The second time he says, give me understanding. Look at verse 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. There it is again, understanding and life running parallel with each other. Give me understanding. The third time he prays it. Look at verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Four times the psalmist prays, give me understanding. He asked for it for a gift. Proverbs says to buy. How do we get it? Well, one thing, it sure doesn't hurt to ask, Lord, give me understanding. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, let me know the truth and not error. The opposite in Psalm 32:9, if you want to reference, the mule has no understanding. The ones that reject what God says, like a mule. Now, we have that choice. We can either ask for understanding, get it, and be wise, or we can reject it and be like a mule. That's pretty harsh language. Examples. Daniel had understanding in all matters. His wisdom was 10 times better, it says, than those other local wise men there, because he had a pipeline to the truth. 10 times better. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says, I'll pray, I'll sing, and I'll speak with understanding. God's not sloppy, and we shouldn't be either. It should be with understanding, with wisdom, handling the truth and instruction. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:7. Consider what I say. He says this, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Understanding in all things? That's a high calling. But that's available to us. Truth, wisdom, instruction, understanding. Buy it. Where do we get it? How do we obtain it? In Proverbs 9:10, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. These truths keep going in circles. Knowledge of God, that's understanding. He prays that they would, different prayers, they'd have spiritual understanding and wisdom and in all things. And it's all wrapped up in the knowledge of the Scriptures, the understanding of the Scriptures, and the applying of the Scriptures, and the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, and also in the local assembly. That trilogy, a threefold cord is not easily broken. I'm going to give you the answer to the question I've been asking now. How do you buy truth? We know we can't get it at Walmart or the drugstore or wherever. How do we buy wisdom, understanding? It's a barter system. If you went to sleep on me, and I told Craig, I said, he said, you're going to have an hour. I said, I get boring after that long. But if you went to sleep on me, if I put you to sleep, I'm going to tell you the answer to the question I've been asking. How do you buy it? It's a barter system. I trade my time in reading this dear book and spending time sitting in the seat just like you are in the local assembly and in studying about my Lord Jesus Christ. As I see Him, I'm transformed into His image. As I run the Scriptures through my mind, Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You run the Scriptures through our mind and we're transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all, with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed. Same word, metamorphosis. We're changed as we see Christ. We're changed as we read the Scriptures. Now, the Lord, same words used, as the Lord prayed, He was transfigured. It's by spending time. I am a steward of money. You hear quite a bit about that. I'm a steward of my spiritual gifts, as every man has received the gift. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And he says, moreover, in stewards, it is required that a man be found faithful. It's required. I'm going to give an account of my spiritual gifts, of not only whatever I put in the offering plate here, but what I keep. I was 60 years old before I understood that, as I studied Luke 18, that a steward is only a manager and not the owner. And I'm going to give an account. But I'm going to give account of my time. The figures that the average American spends watching television makes a hair stand up on the back of your neck. And us Christians are not much better. I'll tell you what I've done. The remote control, there's a little knob on it that it cuts it off. I've got it laying here, and I've got my Bible right here. And if it's just a bunch of junk, there's a little button there that I've got it. Four grandsons, and one of them was so blunt and abrupt, and I was working in a basement and doing some stuff, and Logan had a TV over there that only had about a dozen channels on it, but somebody given it to me, and I plugged it up, and he went over there, and he flipped the channels, and he's, at that time, he's just about 6 or 7 years old, and I'm working, and I was watching him out of the corner of my mind. He went through the channels, and he cut it off. He said, junk. I thought, how many adults are not that wise? The time we can waste, or the times that we can use in buying the truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding. It's all in this book. It's all in the Trinity. It's all in the local assembly. And as we weave it together, we're transformed. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And if I could just raise your spiritual rewards just that much, it'd be worth me walking up here to share it with you. These are eternal matters. And the Scriptures are consistent. Bam! Don't let them go. How do you get your arms around all this? Buy it and don't sell it. Hold on to it. It's, the secret of it is how we spend our time. You hear people say, well, I don't have time to study the Bible. Well, guess what? We all have time for what we're interested in. We've got 24 hours every day of the week, one right after another. And the Scriptures tell us to use it, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Number, teach us to number our days. I've done that. I've just figured up. If I live to be, I've already passed the 70. If I live to be 80 or even 85, the number of days I've got left, I'm already on that home stretch. And that's the reason I want to sprint. The use of our time. We are going to give account of every idle word. You think about that. How many foolish words I have uttered in my life. God doesn't say, well, that's all right. You're just human like everybody else. No. I'm going to give account of every idle word. I'm going to give account of every penny that the Lord entrusted me with. I'm going to give account of every minute of however long I live. And you are too. And He tells us, use it wisely. Trade it. Trade these fleeting minutes for something that is eternal. Now, you give me a better deal than that, and I'll sign up, I'll be on the front row. But you can't beat it. Most of the things a man labors for goes up in smoke. I was just thinking about my boss, who was so good to me. He was a Christian. He wasn't a spiritual man, but he was a Christian. He was the most popular man in North Carolina, Commissioner of Agriculture for 36 years. And now he's in the grave. The friends go on. The applause has ceased. Oh, he's still remembered well. But the things, the money that he gave, whatever it was, the time that he spent reading the Scriptures, the time he spent fellowshipping with the Lord's people, at last, the things that we're involved with are going to be tried with fire. With fire. There's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble go up in smoke. But persuaded better things for you. If it's your best, serve the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for this assembly, for the Christian testimony that it bears to this community, the pillar and ground of truth. And Lord, we thank you for each one that has put his or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for each amount of time that each one spends studying to show himself or herself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ask, Lord, that you would pierce our hearts with these truths. We have not followed a bunch of cunningly devised fables. There were eyewitnesses. These are precious truths. They're not fables. And they affect our eternal destiny and our eternal rewards. Help us to choose those things of higher value. Help us to buy truth and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and sell it not. Help us to barter our time, which is so temporal, for that which is eternal. We ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing number 548?